Good morning, I want to call the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. The time is 9:03 in the afternoon, or in the morning. It's Wednesday, April 5th, 2023. I'm joined today by Co-Chair Hoffman, Co-Chair Stedman, Senator Bishop, Senator Wilson, Senator Merrick, and Senator Keough. We have three bills to be heard today. We've heard them before, we'll hear them in the following order. HB 62, which is the Renewable Energy Fund by Representative Edgman. SB 58, the Medicaid postpartum bill by the governor. And SB 75, which is finish up on the audiologist and speech therapist interstate compact by Senator Wilson. Under bills previously heard, Representative Edgman and the Renewable Energy Fund, we've heard the bill twice, took public testimony. We have a committee substitute. Is there a motion, Senator Stebb?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we adopt Senate Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 62, Work Order 33, LS0385/B, as our working document.
Okay. I'll object for the purposes of discussion. I'll call up Kelly Good to explain some of the changes during in the CS. Ms. Good, please come up to the table and identify yourself and explain the changes, please.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Committee. Kelly Good, staff to Senator Olson. Before you is a work draft for House Bill 62. The change removed line 6 in the original bill, which is the sunset, 10-year sunset, and it would make the programs permanent. And that's the only change.
Any questions of Ms. Good before we go on further? There are no questions. Are there amendments? There have been none that we've had turned into our office. Unless there's amendments on the floor.
Remove your objection.
Yeah, okay. With that, I'll go ahead and, if there's no more discussion, I'll go ahead and remove my objection. Is there a motion, Mr. Stedman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 62 from Committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Without objection, Senate Bill 62 moves from Committee. Taking that ease. Call the Senate Finance Committee back to order. Next bill is Senate Bill 58, the governor's bill on Medicaid postpartum for postpartum mothers. We've heard this bill twice before, taken public testimony. We've asked committee members for amendment. None have been received. We've previously discussed the updated fiscal note. There's no fiscal impact until fiscal year 2025. About 70% of the eventual cost will be paid by federal funds. I want to recognize the room we have in the back, Dr. Ann Zink, who's been a key person in getting this over the finish line. Thanks for coming. We also have Emily Ritchie, who's the deputy commissioner. Any other additional committee comments or discussions? If not, Senator Slim, is there a motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Senate Bill 58 from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note, version A.
Without objection, this Senate Bill 58 moves from committee. I'll take an at ease. Call the Senate Finance Committee meeting back to order. Next bill up is Senate Bill 75. We referred to it yesterday on interstate audiology and speech language compact. This bill was heard yesterday, but we ran out of time. The intention today is to finish the initial hearing, take public testimony. Senator Wilson and Jasmine Martin are at the table for the court for questions. We should have a brief opening statement, Senator Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. For the record, this is Senator David Wilson, Senator for District N. Before us is Senate Bill 74, 75. I think we're just finished up at 75. These are the speech audiologist compact and the physical therapy compact licensure bills, to really just increase our access to workforce, to allow a smoother process for licensing processes in the state, and to ensure our state sovereignty. And with that, I'll just let our invited testifiers tell a little bit more upon the importance of SB 75.
Thank you very much, Senator Wilson. Invited testimony this morning is Sylvan Robb, Director of the... I'm sorry, the next... the invited testimony is Tammy Peralt, which is the Regional Liaison Department of Defense on the line. Ms. Peralt, are you on? Peralt or Perot?
Chair Olson and members of the committee, can you hear me? Okay, this is Tammy Perot with the Department of Defense.
Yes, you can hear, you're coming in loud and clear, Ms. Perot. Go ahead with your testimony after you identify yourself.
Thank you very much, Chair Olson. My name is Tammy Perot with the Department of Defense, and I represent the Department of Defense through the Defense State Liaison Office. And I'd like to thank you for taking time to hear my testimony today. Alaska is home to over 22,000 service members and over 8,000 military spouses, which makes this piece of legislation incredibly important to us. We are in support of the policy changes in SB 74 and 75, which were discussed yesterday, and most especially want to discuss the Speech Pathology Audiology Compact before you today. These occupational licensure compacts ensure that our military spouse professionals can continue to work seamlessly without cumbersome processes of relicensing when they move to the state of Alaska. These compacts promote reciprocity and reduce barriers to licensure portability. As Senator Wilson alluded to yesterday, our office supports occupational licensure compacts and has entered into an agreement to develop further occupational licensure compacts beyond those before you now, in coordination with the Council of State Governments. These are, for the Department of Defense, the best form of licensure reciprocity for the 34% of our military spouse professionals moving across state lines each year. The individual may retain the home state designation during the period the service member is on active duty, and subsequent to designating a home state, the individual shall only change their home state through application for licensure in the new state, providing continuity for our military spouses as they move. We are grateful for the tremendous efforts that Alaska has historically made supporting our military members and their families. And we especially thank Senator Wilson for sponsoring this legislation. I stand for your questions.
Do we have any questions of Ms. Perot by members of the committee? If not, we'll now go to invited testimony. First, we have Susan Adams with the American Speech, Language, and Hearing Association. Ms. Adams, are you on, ma'am?
I am. Thank you so much, Senator Olson. My name is Susan Adams. I'm the Director of State Legislative and Regulatory Affairs for the American Speech Language Hearing Association. I'm also ex officio to the Audiology and Speech Language Pathology Interstate Compact Commission. ASHA is the National Professional Scientific and Credentialing Association for 228,000 members and affiliates who are audiologists, SLPs, speech, language, and hearing scientists, audiology and speech language pathology support personnel and students. We represent over 480 members in the state of Alaska. As you've heard about this compact, this legislation is in its simplest form both a compact and a contract between states to recognize another pathway to practice. This compact currently has passed in 25 states. 15 other states have introduced legislation this year. The ASLPIC is designed to allow licensed audiologists and SLPs to practice across state lines and through telepractice, both legally and ethically, without an individual obtaining a license in every state. It increases access to care for those with communication disorders, facilitates that continuity of care when clients relocate or travel, and increases consumer protection by expanding the prosecutorial net for bad actors. As you've heard from Ms. Perot, it also allows military spouses to more easily maintain their profession when relocating. The ASLPIC Commission is currently in operation. They've established committees and are adopting rules and bylaws for the compact. They're working right now to create a database to manage the data sharing. That system is expected to be in operation by 2024. If Alaska were to adopt this legislation, they would be able to appoint delegates to the commission and take part in this continued work. With regards to some of the questions asked at yesterday's hearing, I could offer the following. In regards to the immunity language in the compact, most commissions procure liability insurance as this compact will also, to cover ordinary negligence by a commission employee who is an agent of the compact, much like the hypothetical that was described yesterday. As to the commissioners and delegates, the true intention of the immunity language and the level of immunity that's afforded is commensurate to the immunity provided by the member state's laws and will only protect the state actor to that level. Of course, that immunity is limited to both qualified and functional immunity. Further, the practice of most commissions is to procure that D&O coverage for commissioners and delegates in addition to staff coverage, and this compact will do the same. The trial lawyers often have these concerns that come up despite the fact that this issue and any kind of related hypothetical has never occurred in a commission that we're familiar with. With regard to the ability of the state to deny a privilege, each state can make a disciplinary decision based on information in the data system. Because the compact expands your prosecutorial net to violations occurring in other states, a jurisdictional opportunity and privilege, which states do not currently have without the compact, but outright refusal to issue a privilege must still be based on the terms of the compact that outline a home state license that has been unencumbered for 2 years, and other requirements require the issuance of a privilege because those were the politically viable uniform requirements that were passed in the states. In addition to the political viability issue with regard to our uniform requirements, the compacts are intended to break down barriers to access to competent care, not to erect them. The advisory group drafting team and stakeholders deemed 2 years without an encumbrance and an unrestricted license sufficient to achieve public protection and access needs. Of course, most states also have concerns about appearing to be too restrictive in their requirements in a manner that would raise antitrust concerns that we've seen in other states. We're thankful to Senator Wilson for advancing this legislation in Alaska and hope we can count on your support to move this bill forward and increase access to care for the residents of Alaska with communication disorders. And I'm happy to answer any additional questions you may have.
Do we have any additional questions from members of the committee for Ms. Adams? Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Adams, I appreciate your statement about the commission covering employees and commissioners with liability insurance. Why then would we consider providing a liability shield in law for ordinary negligence?
Ms. Adams.
Senator Keel, I don't believe that we're providing a shield for ordinary negligence, and I believe the compact specifically refers to, non-intentional issues as being covered. I think that the immunity coverage that the state does currently provide is the same immunity that would be provided to your delegates to the commission. We wouldn't be providing any additional immunity other than what the state already provides to your own state actors.
Follow up, Senator Q.
Mr. Chairman, I'm happy to discuss further with the bill sponsor, but the language is very clear. A commissioner or a commission employee engaged in their work here in Alaska who is shielded from liability unless they are willful or wanton. Ordinary negligence, they're just not liable.
Certainly is a concerning provision that's in there. Senator Wilson, do you have a comment on it this time, or do you want to work it out between afterward? We're going to put this bill aside. We can talk about it later, too, whatever you want to do.
For the record, Jasmine Martin, staff to Senator Wilson, if we can work with the committee on this a bit after the meeting today, that would be great. Thank you.
Is that okay with you, Senator Keel?
Please.
Okay. If there's no other questions of Ms. Adams, we'll go on to the next invited testimony. That's Nancy Lovering with the Alaska Speech and Hearing Association. Ms. Lovering, are you on, ma'am?
Hi, good morning. Yes, I am.
Go ahead with your testimony, if you would, please, and identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Senator Olson. My name is Nancy Lovering, and I am representing the Alaska Speech and Hearing Association, which represents audiologists and speech language pathologists here in Alaska. I am also a speech-language pathologist in Anchorage, a small business owner in a private practice that serves children with disabilities. SB 75 will be a step in the right direction to fill the long-term shortages of speech-language pathologists and audiologists here. It will make it easier for practices such as my own to hire speech pathologists and or audiologists, and will improve access to necessary care across the state, and will greatly decrease the burden of our military members or their spouses who are speech pathologists or audiologists to work when they're relocated. Finally, without Alaska having a licensing board for speech pathology and audiology to handle consumer complaints, we welcome the oversight that the compact will provide for those working under the privilege to practice in our state. So thank you for your consideration of SB 75.
Ms. Lovering, one of the questions I do have, if somebody has a complaint against one of the therapists, who do they go to try and kind of voice that and to try and make sure that their concerns are addressed?
Thank you for the question. Typically, at this point, Senator, what has happened is the complaints will be forwarded or sent to the people who typically process the applications through the state. In my instance, as my work through the Alaska Speech and Hearing Association and through ASHA, I've received calls from those members of the state with asking questions regarding clarification about these complaints, you know, if there's ethical kinds of considerations. And so I'm able to kind of guide them through that. And then I also refer them to our national organization for more information. So we really just without that board, we don't have a means that a professional speech pathologist or audiologist that assists with dealing with those consumer complaints.
Well, it sounds like an added burden that's being put on the division, if not the department for this.
Absolutely. I would think so, yes.
With that, if there's any other further question, Ms. Lovering, Senator Keel.
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
If there's no other questions for Ms. Lovering, we'll go on to the fiscal note. This morning we have the Department of Commerce and Community and Economic Development, Director Sylvan Robb up in the audience. Please come on up and identify yourself and explain the fiscal note, please.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, Sylvan Robb, Director of the Division of Corporations, Business and Professional Licensing. The fiscal note for SB 75 is $72,800 for in receipt supported services. So that will be paid for by the licensees. That allows us to hire a long-term non-perm administrative assistant to assist with processing the fingerprint cards that will be generated by this bill, as well as setting up this new program and getting everything ready to handle these compact privileges.
And does the division have an investigator on the staff there for this?
Mr. Chair, the division has almost 25% of our staff are in our investigations unit, and they investigate all the complaints that come in related to professional licenses.
Thank you. Any other questions? Oh, I'm sorry, Senator Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Sullivan Robkin, if Ms. Martin talked about a proposed amendment, what would that do if that was to pass to this fiscal note?
Ms. Robb.
Through the chair to Senator Wilson, we anticipate that it would decrease the number of months that we would need to employ the individual in question. So we're anticipating 6 months as the bill is written, and we would see a decrease in that number of months probably by about half.
Senator Wilson, follow-up? No? Any other questions of Ms. Robb by members of the committee? Senator Bishop, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. Do we anticipate how many more new licenses would be coming into the state? Has anybody done any back-of-the-envelope estimates?
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, so the compact enables people to obtain a privilege to practice in the state. We would not be licensing them. They would be licensed in their home state.
I'm just get follow-up. So this fiscal note, this person is going to be processing the application of fingerprinting, right?
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, as the bill is written now, yes, there will be fingerprint cards that will come in associated with this that will need to be sent to DPS.
Okay, with that being said, do we anticipate how many fingerprint cards? Has there been any forecasting? That's all my question is. The bill's trying to get more people into the state for this position. I'm just trying to get a feel for how many people there might be coming if it passes.
Ms. Rob, you want to comment on that?
Yes, thank you. Through the chair, Senator Bishop, in FY22, we had 123 new applicants for speech-language pathologist assistants, audiologists, and temporary speech-language pathology licenses. So assuming that that's a fairly typical year, I anticipate about 123 new, but obviously we're already processing and staffing those licenses. So,
thank you. And how does that compare to years past? In the last 5 years, is that pretty much the norm? Is just over 100 of people that have applied for those licenses? And I'm assuming a majority of them get licensed.
Mr. Chair, so in FY19, we had 734 licensed speech-language pathologists. In FY22, that number had risen to 677. And then audiologists, there were 103 in FY22 and slightly under 100 in FY19. So we have seen an increase in professional licensing in general. In the last 10 years in professional licensing, we've seen an increase of 64% of professional licenses required. So it's been growing across the board.
It's a positive thing, especially if you need those kind of licenses up here to do their therapy. With that, any other questions by members of the committee before we go on testimony? Oh, I'm sorry, Senator Keel.
Mr. Chairman, one for the sponsor or the sponsor staff, if now is an appropriate time.
Go ahead, without objection.
Ms. Martin, yesterday one of the testifiers gave a longish answer to one of my questions, and I think you were able to explain a little better how it worked, and I was much less concerned. Can we just get on the record? If someone's privilege to practice is revoked by a state, but the home state, the state where they have the license itself, does not act, what can Alaska do, and when would Alaska have to let that person, be forced to let that person come back? What do those time frames look like?
Ms. Martin.
For the record, this is Jasmine Martin, staff to Senator Wilson. So, yes, you are correct, through the chair to Senator Keel. The home state is the only one who can take action against a home state license. But remote states where people hold a privilege to practice can take action against privileges to practice, and they can take, when an action is taken against a privilege to practice, it's taken against privileges to practice across the compact states. At that point, when there's encumbrance on the privilege to practice, it's 2 years from the date of the adverse action that person is allowed to get a privilege to practice again. That's assuming the restriction is less than 2 years.
Follow up, Senator Keel.
So just to follow that chain a minute, if the remote state, some other state, says you can't practice here for 5 years, then it's not 2 years to practice in Alaska, it's five.
For the record, through the chair, Senator Keel, that's correct.
Thank you. That's helpful.
And so just so I'm clear, if you have a privilege to practice in a number of other states, if one of those participating states has a complaint against a licensee in all the states, they will, in all the adjacent states, they will have that privilege revoked or suspended while they still maintain a license. Is that true?
For the record, this is Jasmine Martin, staff to Senator Wilson. I'm just looking at the language of 75 because some of the language is a little bit different between the two, so I want to make sure I answer the question correctly.
Okay. We can take a brief at ease if you like. Call the Senate Finance Committee meeting back to order.
For the record, Jasmine Martin, staff to Senator Wilson, to answer your question, yes, that is correct. Again, the home state is the only one that can take action against a home state license, but any compact state where a person has a privilege to practice can take action against that privilege to practice. If that privilege is practiced, is revoked, it's revoked in all states.
What about a suspension?
Same for the suspension.
Yes. Thank you very much for answering that question. It's certainly something that is important to the licensee. Having a license myself, it's concerning. And so with that, thank you very much for explaining the fiscal note. Ms. Robb, we'll open it up to public testimony. I don't see anybody online for public testimony. I guess I want to know if there's any other committee discussion or questions related to either 75 or 74. One is physical therapist, 74, and 75 is audiologist, speech therapist. Do we have any further questions by members of the committee? Okay, we'll go ahead and close public testimony. We'll get ready to set this bill aside if nobody has anything to discuss. This concludes today's agenda. There are no hearings scheduled for the next few days due to the Easter weekend. Our next hearing will be on Wednesday, April 12th. We'll bring up bills previously heard, starting with Senate Bill 107, the PUMV bill. With that, we're adjourned at 9:37 a.m.